Meow! Welcome to the Cat Tunes Podcast. I'm your host, Catherine Corelli. On this podcast, I'm going to talk about the stories behind my songs, the production tools that I've used, the production methods that I've employed, the instruments that I've played, the instruments that I've discovered, the arrangement methods that I've used, the real-life stories which precipitated the creation of my entire albums or of my separate tracks. So let's jump right into it, shall we? And welcome you listening to the Cat Tunes Podcast. This is episode 81. And today we're going to be talking about a song called Don't Ask, from the same Out of Gehenna album. Oh, and I distinctly remember that this song was in the making in summer, late summer, August, I would say, 2008. August, September, approximately at that time. Maybe, yes, late August, September. Gosh, it was a long while ago. 2008. It's been a long while ago that I can tell you. And this is kind of a, I don't know. It's, this song has a strange vibe. On one hand, it is dark. It is absolutely dark, and it's not a happy song. Not at the very least at all. On the other hand, the way the lyrics are written, the lyrics are... They're kind of written in a self-deprecating fashion, and it's almost all presented as a joke, like a bravado kind of joke. But the underlying theme of it is, it's a pretty sad song. I don't think I have a lot of songs that are specifically being bravado-esque in this fashion. Don't Ask stands out exactly because of that. The entire first verse basically is comprised of just Urban Dictionary type of expressions, which are probably not exactly comprehensible to a regular person who doesn't understand the meaning of what the heck is all of this about. A lot of people won't get it. But that's kind of the point. It's kind of the point. You kind of get the meaning of the song by the time the hook arrives. You get it anyways. It was deliberately written this way. I was in a difficult relationship. I was in a very emotional relationship at the time, back in 2008. And this was my way of saying some of it without being really understood, because I felt that I cannot really express myself under those circumstances back in 2008. So I was still trying to express myself, but I was coding things and, like I like to say, writing in hieroglyphs, this kind of stuff. To those who might, to whom this might concern, I've always operated under the assumption that someone who really wants to understand, someone who really wants to understand will understand anyways. They will get it. They will crack the code and they will find out what's really going on. But, you know, the rest of the listeners will just hopefully appreciate the humor, albeit it's dark humor. A lot of it is dark humor. And the sadness of it, you know, the vibe of this song. Not only of this song, but of others, too. I was encoding heavily a few things on another album called Alice Severance. There's a few lyrics on that album are just I was using some really, really deep metaphors to describe a pretty trivial thing. But here's the thing. It's like, I do have the sense that a lot of this happens to a lot of people. A lot of it is very trivial. We're not talking rocket science here. We're not talking some crazy things that never happened to anybody. No, we're talking about things that happen to people all the time. That happen to girls and to men all the time. So I'm confident that, you know, whatever I was expressing and whatever feelings I was going through, this is not something unique. This is not something something exceptionally outstanding, not at all. However, because I'm an artist, I'm looking for ways to convey my messages, or to draw my summaries, or to, you know, reflect upon my experiences in my particular unique way. And I can only hope that that makes my music special to you, because it reflects in the music too, not just in the lyrics. So this is kind of a Don't Ask is kind of a playful but depressed song. It's a very depressed song. In retrospect, I think I better understand with the wealth of my modern knowledge and with everything that I've learned about people. I think nowadays I have a better understanding of what exactly was going on back in those days with me, and why did I feel the things that I felt. A few things about the person that I was involved with, I think that pretty much explains why I was going through that whirlwind of emotions. At the time, I could not comprehend that because I was blinded, because I was all engulfed in those emotions, very powerful emotions, and I couldn't approach the situation with a cold head. I couldn't see those events from a non-emotional, rational, psychological standpoint. No, I couldn't. So I was carried away, you know, with my emotions, and I was out of that, you know, some music got born and some lyrics got born. So all in all, I think it's not a bad thing that it happened to me. I mean, as long as you like this album and you like these songs, you know, good. So that wasn't, all of those emotions didn't merely just go to waste. You know, something good emerged out of that, I would like to think. So with that being said, let's move on to the next section. Let's try to conduct some music analysis of the song, shall we? The song Don't Ask is in C sharp minor, and it is in 90 BPM. It's a mid-tempo song in one of my favorite keys. I don't know, C sharp minor is a nice key, I think. So, as per usual, let's listen to the intro. I think let's listen to the intro alone, and then we will listen to the verse and hook, I will comment, all right? So what do we have here in the intro? I'm not going to replicate precisely all the little intricate voicings that are there in the piano, but I'll try to approximate that. So we're starting with the root chord, the C sharp minor. Repeats itself twice. There's a C sharp minor going into an A major, going into an F major plus 7, going to a G sharp major, C sharp minor, F sharp minor minus 7, D major, or should I say a D major plus 7, going into a G sharp major with an augmented fifth. And then after that, we're going into the verse. Let's listen. On a night that was expected to be cray-cray, skillful of lands, me Superman, because you think that you've gone astray. Look at the mist, look at my hot kitten here. Them kittens' noses burn the ground with very cheer amazed at the fact that your looks is turned. Catch a few gag, catch a few blah blah blah, because I gave the kick in the nuts. A swarm of canards, that's what I dust under tired and sick. You blasphemy rhythms, and snap, shut up, cause the crew to kills me. Okay, so what's going on in the verse? Again, I'm showing just an approximation, but here's approximately what it looks like. Okay, so what's going on in the verse? So there is a C sharp minor, allegedly, because that little melodic thing that's going on in one of the keyboards or something like this. So there's a C sharp minor. F major minus 7, 9, going into an E major with a 6. Going into a D major plus 7. Going into an F major 7. So you see there's this recurring F major in C sharp minor. That's the characteristic trait of the verse. So then after this we're going into the hook. I So, there is this notable little thing. Just kind of like, yeah, it's C sharp minor, but it has this first steps in from an A major. Then there is an F sharp minor on the base of A, because we're in harmonic minor, of course, so there is this B sharp here. Then we got into a D major plus 7, 9, then we're going into an F major plus 7. Again, like the first line, C sharp minor, F sharp minor, diminished fifth, then going into an A major plus 7. G sharp major minus 7 with an augmented fifth. And then let's listen to what's following next in the second verse. And the way you return between my don't play to make me believe that you're incredibly dumb and numb. And the way I'm a son, but if it's not kind of dumb, I'll find it's up to the moment when I'm done. I'd like to lock my head, I'd like to be dead drunk and enough to keep away all this time. Okay, so the second verse, notably, is different from the first one. It's more animated. Again, I won't be able to replicate all of it. So this time, there is a Latin kind of thing going on in the back with it. Something along those lines. The whole piano section here in the second verse is kind of Latin-esque. And it's kind of a departure from the chord progression that we had in the first verse. It's just different. And it's more animated because here the chord changes are happening in every measure. There are two chords instead of one chord. So there is a C-sharp minor, F-sharp minor minus 7, G-sharp, major minor 7, C sharp minor again, A major, D major 7, 9, plus 7, 9, C sharp minor again, F sharp minor minus 7, G sharp major minus 7. Then there is a C sharp minor on the base of E, and then an A major plus 7. Then all of this repeats yet another time, but in the end there is no C sharp minor on the base of E. Instead of that, the last chord is A. It just hangs there for a whole measure. And then after that, we're going again into the hook. So, into the second hook. Is doubled. It has one little slight variation to it. It was going, the first time it goes like this. There is a slight little change. It goes. You see, there is this after the F major, it goes into the dominant chord with an augmented fifth. That's the only difference. And it continues as usual. The end of the hook. for four times, there is the intro that is being repeated. It's like it's used as a middle section in the song, and it builds up and it builds up and it builds up for four times. A little bit, and then again there is a doubled hook. It's the same story. Hook A with this with the F there, and the only difference with the hook B is that it has this move to the dominant chord from an F major, which kind of underlines this, the bizarrety of this F major in C sharp, in the key of C sharp minor. And then after this double hook, we're going into the outro section. The outro section is the same as the first verse. It's the same kind of ominous, dark chord sequence, which is repeated twice. And this time it slowly fades out. So it goes like this. The second pass, it just stops and hangs there on the last F major plus 7 chord. So basically, this is the music for Don't Ask. There is not, it's not really that complicated. The structurally, it's kind of different because the first verse is its own thing, and then this same verse is used as the conclusive outro, but the second verse is entirely different. And it never repeats again, and nothing from the second verse is ever repeated. It just, you know, moves on to the hook. The hook is repeated five times, hook number one, then if we count hook two, hook three is like one doubled hook, and then hook four and hook five is the last final doubled hook. That's it. The entire song is like 4 minutes and something, so it's, or I don't remember. Whatever. The point is that this is not a long song. It doesn't have like some crazy, complicated structure to it or anything like that. No, I would consider this a pop song. Yeah, albeit it's a dark pop song, but it is a pop song after all. The pretty straightforward melody. It kind of sounds gothic, I guess. Mostly because of this tritone. Also because of this augmented fourth, B sharp E. Bye 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 bye. It's a tense melody. It's a very, very sad, very sorrowful, mournful melody. It descends all the time, and just at the bottom of it, it, by the way, it doesn't occupy a wide range. Basically, the whole melody fits between B sharp and A. That's it. That's it. The whole melody. Yeah, there is a second voice that, you know, sings some harmonics, you know, above this melody. But this is the main melody. Anyways, with this being said, let's move on to the next section, shall we? Don't Ask was one of the songs that was written earlier. It was written in 2008. It was, as far as I remember, it had a demo, one of the earlier demos. Sore Cry was written first, then Don't Ask and Dark Singer, they were written somewhere approximately the same time. So they were in the very beginning. And this is essentially why they landed in the first half of the album. Deserve, which is the last track, what is it, the 12th track, as far as I remember on this album, Out of Gehenna, it is there because it was written the last. In a weird twist of luck, or I don't know, or what, or fate, on this particular album, I ended up more or less lining up the songs according to chronological order, which is a rare occurrence. Yeah, I tossed them up, so that they would sit with one another and kind of, make sense. Each one of these songs encapsulates some sort of story. Something happened. There was a fight. There was some drama. There was something was going on in my life. And then it got converted in a joking fashion, or in a bravado fashion, or in a truly depressed fashion, or in a poetic fashion, or romanticized into a song. And this goes for every song on the Out of Gehenna album. But anyways, Don't Ask. Check out the lyrics for this song on genius.com. You can find all the lyrics to my published music. You can find it on genius.com. For some reason, I cannot put links in the description anymore on this podcast. Apple doesn't allow it or something, I don't know. So, just look up genius.com and find it for yourself. Also, I want to invite you to check out my other business, which is southerncaracal.com, southern from the word south, and caracal, caracal.com. Check out our skin health and aromatherapy products. Pick something for yourself, or maybe for your friends and family, and the skin of your friends and family and your skin will thank you a little later. And with that being said, I'm going to be wrapping up this episode. Thank you very much for being with me. Thank you for checking out this podcast. I appreciate you. I love you, and you'll hear me in the next episode.